Hey, thanks so much for tuning in, and thanks for listening to The House of Bob. We're going to take a moment before we jump into the action today to share some exciting news with you all. First of all, we want to thank everybody and offer a really huge apology to any new listeners who stuck around after the Flavortown bamboozle. Next year, we're promised to keep the April Fool's joke to one day where it belongs. If you're going to be in our hometown of Calgary, Alberta during the Comic Expo this April, please keep a close eye on our social media over the next few days, where we're going to be giving away tickets to an exclusive screening of the original Spawn movie at the Globe Theater on Thursday, April 26th. All of this is thanks to our amazing sponsor, Legend 7 Brewing. For the next few releases, we're going to be taking a bit of a break from House of Annihilation to bring you a special delivery, GM by fan favorite Schubert, just for you. Join us for a brief foray into Alpha Complex as we play the game Paranoia. Don't worry, though. House of Annihilation will be back soon, and the crew of the High Havoc with it. Last time on House of Annihilation, the crew of the High Havoc parts ways with their highly valued guides, Farul and Gondolo, and they learn that their friends back in Port Nyanzaru may be out of the jungle, but they aren't out of danger.
I'm Schubert. I'll be playing Farul of Farul and Gondolo, adventurers and guides extraordinaire.
And I'm Sean, your dungeon master. If you like what you hear today, be sure to subscribe for more content, rate us on iTunes, and head on over to our Facebook and Twitter. Tell us what you thought. Roll on. We open on the streets of Port Nyanzaru. The cobblestones, shiny and slick from recent rain. The atmosphere is crowded and boisterous. Pennants are flying, and people are celebrating. Down the main avenue, roped barriers block the crowds from accidentally stumbling into the path of the dinosaur racers currently setting up for their first race of the morning. It's the preliminaries, and as such, the starting line is loaded with dinosaurs of all shapes and sizes, and their riders are equally varied. There's a pair of halflings wrangling a spine-back stegosaurus into place, a dragonborn with a massive feathered headdress climbing aboard a slavering albertosaurus. It's muzzled, of course, to keep it from mauling the other competitors. There are hadrosauruses, triceratops, a bulky dimetrodon, and even a grinning gnome climbing into a saddle aboard a sleek and brightly colored Deinonychus. At the end of the line, pulling their grunting and woofing triceratops into place, are a human and a halfling. A finely dressed but overly warm pair in coats and freshly pressed and starched shirts, it's Farul and Gondolo. A little more fresh, a little greener, before they ever bore witness to the dangers of the jungle outside the town.
Man, says Gondolo, I can't believe it, Farul. This is so exciting, our very own dinosaur.
We finally made it, Gondolo.
They always said we couldn't do it, but here we are.
We're professional dinosaur racers.
And now you have to win, or we're totally screwed.
The race.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the one after that.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we'll be rich forever.
Forever. Take that, Dad.
Yeah.
So you have all these racers lined up along you. You might want to take into account who's going to be your big competition.
Hmm.
You might want to eye up who you've got
right
alongside
you. I can train Zongo to gore them first.
That would work. Yeah, that's allowed in this game.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, but what are some things that aren't allowed so I can do some underhanded tactics?
So do your best, generally, to avoid running over the spectators.
Mm,
that's
okay.
Generally frowned upon because they're paying good ticket prices and
right.
Doing a lot of wagering. And the more wagering that takes place, the higher the pot is going to get for the race.
If there's any like streakers, though, across the field, we can take care of those guys, right?
It's their own fault for going across the barrier, really. You guys have spent basically your life savings on him and a racing saddle. And Gondolo is entrusting you to ride.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. He says, here, before you go up, I got you this. I scrimped a little bit, and I was able to get you these spurs. I see some other guys wearing them, so maybe, I don't know if you feel weird about that, but...
I don't feel weird about that at all. I feel amazing about that.
Great.
And Farul dons these spurs? What do they look like?
They are, fancy, are they? They're actually made out of a hardwood from the jungle. And the spur on them is bone pieces because they use a lot of dinosaur bones in Chult as different tools, and it looks good. It's traditional. So these spurs are going to, you know, hopefully give you that little bit of an edge.
Nice.
So yeah, you're looking up and down the racing line and you can see that, you know, some of these dinosaurs are herbivores. Some of them are carnivores. Some of them are obviously predators, but some of your competitors that you're looking down might be as new as you. Some of them might be a little more experienced. I'm not sure. What kind of research did you do before you came up here?
Well, what I did was I came up here and I believed in myself and I pictured my victory.
All right. So you're envisioning crossing that finish line at the other end of town.
Yeah, I'm going through it in my mind. I'm just closing my mind and like kind of whipping some, I don't know. I don't know how to ride a dinosaur. that would be some good research to do.
Well, you did at the very least guide Zongo over here, so at least he knows who you are.
Yeah. We formed a really good bond.
Perfect.
Me and Zongo.
All right, so you guys saddle up. The rest of the riders are pretty much ready, and the music of the races is beginning. And this is a strong drumming beat played out on the skulls of dinosaurs. There are also some players who are playing water chimes and water glasses because there's so much rain here that they actually build contraptions for their aqueducts to actually play music. So some of that's going on. We've got some trumpeters who are lining up at the starting line, getting the go-ahead from some of the merchant princes in attendance to sound the horn, and they're counting down, and it's three.
We did some research on these riders, right?
Two. Yeah, good luck.
Oh.
One.
It's at this point I start to regret the last few days of doing nothing.
The race is off. So now all the dinosaurs are charging. Zongo instinctively running along with the herd. And you are struggling to hold on. This is the first time you've ridden a dinosaur of you know, anything other than a horse, really. You're going to need to hold on tight. Give me a
hold on tight roll.
Give me a hold on tight roll. I'm going to make it a strength because Zongo is such a huge creature.
Four.
All right, so right off the bat, you get jostled by the Albertosaurus beside you. Zongo spooks a little bit, shakes his head, and the reins pull you off the side of the saddle. You're now dangling from the side of his crest, grabbing on for dear life. You can see up ahead of you, Zongo starting to veer because you're pulling his head a little to the right. He's starting to veer into the crowd. You're going to have to get up and off of him somehow. You're going to have to figure this out. What are you going to do?
Oh, man. Does he have any...
He does have reins.
Yeah, reins.
Yeah.
Am I holding onto one or did I lose?
You are holding onto like the right side of it and it's just pulling so hard on his head that he's careening right into the crowd now.
Oh man. I'm going to try to grab onto his horn.
Yeah.
And kind of hurl myself around on top of his head.
Do like a Legolas sort of thing.
Do a Legolas.
You know, like in that movie.
in that movie about those rings.
Yeah. All right.
I think I watched that.
Give me an acrobatics.
18.
There you go. So you swing up onto Zongo's horn. You are now riding his nose.
Perfect.
Perched right on the front, and he manages to correct and get back into the herd of racing dinosaurs. You can see that now you're about middle of the pack. He's big, so he's fast, but some of those smaller dinosaurs are catching up by weaving in and out. You can see that the gnome riding the Deinonychus is starting to get right up on Zongo's heels, and I don't know. It looks like he looks like a little slavering at the mouth a little bit. He might be going for a bite.
Oh, man. All right. Well, because I love and care for Zongo and I don't want him to get hurt, I need to defend him against the Deinonychus. So I'm going to try to take Zongo's horn. I'm going to reef it over to the side that the Deinonychus is on.
Okay.
And try to pierce its skin or kind of hit
totally.
It.
Totally. Even just to jam it off to the side, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead and give me an animal handling check. This is going to be wisdom if you're not already trained in it.
Okay. Four.
Zongo, misinterpreting your signal, slams on the brakes, comes to almost a full skidding stop, cobblestones flying, Deinonychus zips past you, a couple more dinosaurs, a Stegosaurus swings past you, and its tail whips just above your head as it runs past. Zongo now almost at a full stop, kind of lumbering, one step, two step, and you're quickly falling behind. Dinosaurs are just zipping past you.
Okay, quickly jump back onto his back, into my riding saddle. And give him the old,
yeah!
Trying to get Zongo to get fast.
All right, another handle animal.
Oh, God. Ooh, 21.
Nice. You manage to spur him back into a full tilt sprint, and he's starting to charge right up onto those other dinosaurs' tails. There's a Hadrosaurus ahead of you. It's kind of one of those duck-bill dinosaurs, and it's lumbering along on 2 feet, 3 feet. It's kind of trying to do a little bit of a jog, and its rider, jostling up on top of it, is about to fall off. You can either dodge around him, leave him in the dust, or you could be a good sport and grab him. It's up to you.
And by good sport, you mean like grab him and throw him?
Yeah, it's up to you, but he's about to fall off his dinosaur into the stampede.
I mean, I think I'll just let that happen.
Ooh.
That seems like okay for me.
As he goes underneath the feet of the dinosaur, you can see now that although you're moving again, you're quite a ways back in the race.
Mm.
You're going to have to do something drastic to get ahead. You can see that there's a part ahead of you where the racetrack splits. One path, more open, more wide, probably good for a long charge, but it's packed full of other dinosaurs. The other pathway, a lot of the smaller dinosaurs are going because it's more of a weavy and windy through a bunch of carts and marketplace stalls. You think that you might be able to get a little bit of a shortcut through that way, but it's going to be more difficult.
I think that Zongo, being a larger dinosaur, he likes to charge. I think I'll take him through the kind of straight path and just get him to charge straight through any dinosaurs he encounters along the way.
All right. So you head off towards the wide, long pathway. Go ahead and spur him on. I'll give you a handle animing with advantage.
Night.
Oh.
Zongo charges into the straightaway, gaining really quickly on a couple of those small dinosaurs.
Nice.
But you don't quite have him under control. The spurs maybe have amped him up a bit too much, and he starts to gore dinosaurs as he runs past them.
That's smash, good, right?
Cut. They're falling to the side.
Yeah.
Problem is you're not gaining on the people who are actually in the lead.
Oh no.
You take out three or four smaller dinosaurs as you're running past them, but then Zongo starts to kind of revel in his bloodlust, and he slows right down, and he sees this wide open patch that he can kind of be in, and he decides to stop.
That's not good. So wait, but being in last place, we should get all the good items, right?
Absolutely. Moments later, the crowd starts to crush in around you, and the gates are pulled up along the sides, and people come in and start congratulating you on a great show, but unfortunately not a great race. Gondolo catches up to you after a few minutes.
What happened?
How much money do we get for putting on a great show?
I really don't think we get anything.
Oh.
You might have actually pissed a couple people off.
Oh. I don't know what happened, man. I don't know if I'm a dinosaur racer.
Well, you'll catch on to it. Like, it's a skill, right?
I feel like Farul would just like break down and cry at this moment. You're like, oh God, I'm failing at everything. Oh.
It's okay. It's okay. We're going to come back from this. We still got Zongo. You know, we're going to be all right. Why don't we go get a drink?
We do still have Zongo.
He's still a great dinosaur.
Still have Zongo, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's right here.
Okay.
I have some ideas. We'll pitch him when we go get a drink.
Okay, that sounds good.
So you guys head off to the Thundering Lizard, which is where everybody parties after they have a good old dinosaur race. A couple of the patrons loved all the goring that Zongo is doing, and they're willing to buy you guys a few drinks.
Oh,
and you start to get a little deep into it when Gondolo gets that gleam in his eye, the gleam of a fresh idea.
Uh-oh.
You know what, Farul, I was thinking.
Uh-oh. You probably shouldn't be doing that while you're drinking. Drinking and thinking.
Wait, it rhymes. It's so good. I gotta try.
Okay, what's your thought?
All right, so I was drinking, and I was thinking, and we have Zongo, and I see Triceratops a lot of the time are pulling things, right? Like
how we got Zongo to pull all our stuff here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, so if we become guides, we could use Zongo as a pack animal, and then bam, boom, money in the pocket all the time.
Guides. Guides for what?
Well, there's all these schmucks taking people into the jungle. How hard could it be?
Yeah, but sometimes they don't make it back. Seems pretty dangerous.
They tell you that, but I think they just get rich and go off somewhere else.
I don't know, man. Seems really dangerous. I mean, the race was pretty dangerous, but...
Yeah, how could it be more dangerous than that? You saw how those people got trampled. There's way less trample threat in a jungle.
It's true. I guess less dinosaurs, more Zongo. But how would we find a group stupid enough to believe that we would be competent guides? We know nothing about the jungle.
We can be pretty convincing.
You see ahead of you, on the opposite side of the bar, a few dinosaur riders from the race that you are fairly certain you dethroned earlier today when Zongo went on his little bit of a rampage. They do not look happy. They're scanning the crowd, have that bristly look about them of people who want to look for a fight.
I'm just kind of cowering and being like, good race, guys. Good job.
They come over to you.
All's fair in love and dinosaur races, right?
Hey, are you that Triceratops racer?
Which one? I think there was a few, right?
You know who you are. We recognize you.
Really? Because I don't recognize you at all.
His shoulders puff up. He gets this vein popping out of his head.
Because of you, Blue Chaser's dead.
And this tear drops from his eye.
I'll make you pay.
And then he takes a beer jug, raises it above his head, and goes to smash you with it.
All right, well, Farul just stands there dumbfounded.
Smash.
I deserve this.
Some blood pouring down your face. Got that dizzy, concussed kind of feeling to you right now. Do you react? Do you try and fight them off? Do you try and talk them out of it? What do you do?
Well, where's Gondolo?
Gondolo's right beside you, cowering, of course.
Oh, my God! What are we going to do? Who is this guy? I know who he is, but why? Wait, stop, guy!
Wait, stop, guy. I mean, he's doing a better job than I could ever do. Are they not stopping? Because that's pretty...
Yeah, they're about to all jump on you.
Oh, man. You said some people bought us drinks,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I'm going to run over to those guys.
Sure. The closest and nearest person that you see is this Chilton woman. She has a real dark look about her. Sort of squinty eyes, flat nose, but still kind of charming and beautiful. And she was one of the first ones to buy you a drink when you got into the bar. You scramble over to her, cross the on your arms and knees, trying to get over to her. They're chasing after you. She turns, looks at them and says, "What are you doing? Get out of here. Do not bring violence into the Thundering Lizard."
These guys are like, "But this is what this place is for. It's we can do what we want in the Thundering Lizard. Not while I am here."
Well,
they freeze and they turn a little bit pale and they turn. They give you another angry, bloodthirsty look, but they back off and they leave out the front door.
Yeah, you better leave.
What was that?
Nothing. Have a good night, guys.
You too.
Your savior turns to you. "Are you all right?"
I leap into her arms and I'm like, "How could I ever repay you?"
"Oh my gosh. Please. I definitely need personal space."
"Oh, I'm sorry." I leap out of her arms.
"Are you all right?"
"I am, thanks to you. Thank you so much for coming to our rescue."
Of course, no problem. "My name is Salida. What is your name?"
"I'm Farul. This is my associate, Gondolo." "Gondolo."
Right here. Gondolo here, at your service. Chult, Jungle of Chult guides extraordinaire."
Yes, we are guides of the Jungle of Chult."
"Oh, you are guides, are you?"
"Yes."
"That is fantastic. I am currently looking to expand my company's holdings. Are you willing to incorporate with us?"
Let me discuss this with my associate." I look at Gondolo. Yeah.
You guys look at each other, look at her, look at each other, and just like, yeah.
"Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
This is fantastic. I have always been looking for someone new to add to my fold that I can send out. You do know how the fees in Port Nyanzaru work?"
"Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Good. Excellent. So we will be taking 10% of any fees that you incur, but of course we will provide maps and instances of research for you to take out."
"Yep, just normal adventuring guide contract. Gotcha."
"Absolutely.
Right.
It is very fortunate that I have found you."
"It's fortunate for us that you..." "Yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
Nailed it.
Absolutely. You're so lucky. What I would have you do for your first contracts with me is gather adventurers who are willing to explore the southern reaches of the jungle."
"Okay."
"Bring them out there. Here, I have an example of one that you could use. It is called Needle's Bones." And she pulls a map from her side satchel and passes it to you. "Take adventurers to this place. I'm sure there is great treasures there."
"Really? What kind of treasure?"
"Well, it is rumored that a dragon was killed here, and its body is left behind. It might even be the lair."
"No way."
"Oh, yes."
Oh, okay. Way.
Good luck to you.
The camera follows her as she leaves the Thundering Lizard, walks down the street, crisscrossing the roads of Port Nyanzaru. She disappears into a dark and dim alley. Across the jungle, jumping back ahead weeks, torrential rain pours down from the angry clouds into the dense green. The same trio, Zongo, Ferul, and Gondolo, trudge forward. They have long since abandoned the cart that Zongo was once tugging. Instead, a few key items are strapped to the Triceratops' sides, and the rest, Ferul carries.
Apparently I'm a pack mule now.
We see, however, that the light has completely gone from Gondolo's eyes. His arm is in a sling, his face is muddy and scratched up. Ferul looks barely better. Hunched under the weight of his pack, Ferul looks exhausted and insect-bitten. He has large welts covering his face and neck. One of his sleeves, of his once fashionable jacket, have been ripped off to make bandages.
I don't know, Ferul. It's so dark. It's so wet. I just need to rest.
Why did we ever come to this godforsaken jungle?
I'm certain it was your fault.
Oh, you're probably right.
Let's just sit down over here.
Okay.
We'll sleep, and I'm sure we'll feel better in the morning.
Yeah, maybe it'll finally stop raining.
You guys sit down to camp out the night, breaking out what meager provisions you still have left to you. You try and rig up some leaves into a little lean-to.
This is the best shelter I've ever built.
As you are gathering a little bit of firewood, what dry stuff that you can find, littered across the ground, you trip over a couple bones.
Needly bones?
Oh, you're not sure. You take a closer look. Maybe if you had a knowledge of nature.
16 to examine bones.
Nice. You examine these bones. They look a little bit corroded, as if something unnatural has happened to them. And the one that you pick up, you're pretty sure is the shape of a femur, but it's much smaller, like maybe a halfling or a goblin or something like that. You look around and you can see that scattered around the whole area here is more than enough bones for more than a few small creatures.
Oh, I'm getting sort of a creepy vibe from this place, Gondolo. I don't know if we should sleep here.
This whole jungle is creepy. I don't want to sleep anywhere. I'd rather just be back in Port Nyanzaru, but this is what we have to work with.
I don't know, man. The bones.
But
I don't
what?
Know if I can sleep at all.
Bones? Ugh. Can we just look around for somewhere that doesn't have any? Can we, like, even if it's 20 feet, I don't care. I don't want to sleep on bones, but I'm too tired.
You don't think these are the needles bones? I mean, they're not dragon.
I thought it was supposed to be a dragon.
Yeah, but a dragon's lair, wouldn't it have lots of little bones in it?
Maybe like it ate it?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe we should look around for some treasure.
Oh, I love treasure.
I do like treasure.
Go ahead and make a perception check looking around the jungle.
6.
You're wandering back and forth through the dark jungle. It's basically nighttime, so it's kind of hard to see. And you end up sliding down this steep slope, and you lose your footing. You start to fall, and you take a good tumble. Take 8 falling damage as you tumble into a huge sinkhole, splashing at the bottom into 3 or 4 feet of mud. You get up and look around you, and you can see the way that the sky is illuminated above you. The moon is out, the stars are out. You can see the edge of this sinkhole is actually around 90 feet across. It's about 30 feet deep. It's almost built with stone walls, and this murky green-black water around your feet is just teeming with frogs floating from plant to plant. And there in front of you, looming up, is a massive rib cage and fine wing bones of what is most certainly a dragon. Vines, moss, and lichen hang from the bones. Judging from how much the skeleton is exposed, the water seems fairly level from where you are over to there.
All right, I get up, gather myself. I think I'm just going to call out for Gondolo.
Ow! Gondolo!
There is no response.
Gondolo, I think I've found the needle's bones! Get down here!
Again, nothing.
Oh, man. Must have fallen really far. All right. I think Ferul will just walk over to the rib cage.
Okay.
And examine it a bit more closely.
You can see that the bones here, gigantic. Bigger than Zongo. Probably bigger than most of the dinosaurs that you've seen. You can see that the vines hanging off the dragon skeleton actually form this like network or lattice. It's like a net almost that was tied together and then dropped onto the dragon in order to prevent it from getting out of the water. There's also all these spears riddling the body all over the place. Now a lot of them floating, rotten or corroded. Some of them piercing right into bone, standing up. It looks like this dragon was probably ambushed, maybe by goblins.
Oh, man. So according to Salida, gave us the map, the dragon was killed, but no one ever said that the hoard was taken or anything like that. So I'm still trying to look around for this treasure. I'm going to definitely be a little on edge here. I'm going to be looking out for any signs of goblins that might still be around the area, keeping an ear out for it. But yeah, I'm going to go over to the walls and see if there's any signs of treasure or any hidden passageways or anything.
You start feeling your way along the walls, and eventually you happen to feel this deep crevice in between two stones. It's lodged full of mud right now, but you think this doesn't look super natural here. Like, there's stones that are look like they're placed here. You just might have to clear some of that mud out of the way.
All right. Maybe I'll grab one of the spears that's still somewhat intact and start kind of digging away at the mud here.
Yeah, so you start digging away. After a moment of digging, you get some of the mud cleared of the way, and water starts to gush out of the crack, along with swarms of fish. They start to circle around you and start nipping at your body. Have these strong, chomping jaws with needle-like teeth.
Oh, they're
starting to rip away at your legs and rip away at your clothing. You can see that it's starting to widen up as that pressure is gushing out of it, but these fish that were in there are now swarming around you.
Okay, I think I'm just going to try to kind of swim through them, or like get through the hole.
You kind of plunge through the hole.
Yeah.
As you dive in, get chomped on by a bunch more piranha.
Ow.
I'm going to give you a little bit of damage here. 5 as they chomp on you. And coming through the other side, you can see that the water quickly becomes very shallow, and then you're able to get up onto a soggy but dry patch of land inside this cave, totally dark. You're just feeling around by hand, trying to get some bearing of where you are.
I should have like a torch in my bag.
Sure.
Gonna try to bust that out.
Okay. Go ahead and light it. And you can see that it illuminates this cave around you, which really is actually quite large in here. You think probably this could have been a space where the dragon was lairing. In fact, in front of you, there is a huge door. It's inscribed with a bunch of arcane draconic symbols, probably stuff that Douglas would have known about, but you're not quite sure about how you would get through to the other side here.
I start reading the ancient draconic. Hasul Kaiklung Gido Hagi. Oh, right. There's no one around to impress.
So the door is about 10 feet high, 10 feet wide, and it covers the back end of the alcove. It's got all this draconic etchings all over it, and you can see that it's kind of pockmarked or etched into, probably in a similar way that the bones were damaged from the goblins that you saw before.
So goblins have definitely been all through this area, probably ambushed and killed the dragon. I assume they probably took his hoard too, so I don't know why whoever gave me the map wouldn't have known that it was just kind of ransacked by goblins. I look around for any recent signs of goblin activity.
Make an investigation check.
8.
The most recent goblin activity that you can find is like the half-corroded body of a goblin hidden behind kind of a rock.
Okay.
Down here. You're taking a look at it, trying to figure out what's the clue here? What's going to help me? What you can tell is that basically half of its body is like melted away. And there are these sinkholes in the rock around it with this like oily substance inside.
Well, I probably don't want to touch that.
Okay.
I guess I'll stick something organic in it and see what happens.
What kind of organic would you like to pick up?
Like a leaf.
Okay. So you drop like a little leaf in there and it hits the surface of the stuff and it instantly starts to steam and sizzle and corrode. It definitely seems to be some sort of acid.
That's not good. The goblins must have been all fucked up by the dragon with acid. This is the remnants of it, but I'm not sure.
You sort of think that maybe the bones, the way that they're corroded, that might be connected for sure to the acid of the dragon's breath.
Right, but I don't know. I mean, the dragon's dead. Goblins are dead. So maybe someone else took them out too.
The door is also corroded. You can't see through it, but the rock itself looks like it's taken a blast of acid.
Okay. I guess I'll try to open the door.
Okay.
If I can.
You go over to it. You're looking for like a door handle or a knob or something you can push or pull on. You give it a couple shoulder slams and nothing budges on you. But as you hit it up against your shoulders or up against your hands, you start to get that like slight burning sensation. Your clothing starts to sizzle just a little bit as the acid starts to eat
probably
into it.
Shouldn't be touching this or even being in this environment. I should probably just get out of this horrible place. How deep did you say the hole was?
The sinkhole is about 30 feet deep.
Yeah, I think I'll just go back to the sinkhole room.
Okay, so you head back out to the sinkhole. You can see the sky above you. The fish have kind of dispersed now, fortunately for your legs. It's quiet. A lot of the animal sounds have even stopped.
I'm just getting a real bad feeling. Gotta get out of the hole. I get my rope out.
Tie yourself a lasso.
Yeah, tie myself up. I act like I've done this before, and then I start climbing.
Right, you start pulling yourself up, and you get maybe 10, 15 feet when suddenly the rope starts pulling you up faster.
Oh,
it's
Gondolo?
Accelerating, and...
Gondolo, is that you?
Still no response. It gets faster, faster. You scramble to keep up with it until eventually it's just dragging you up the side of the sinkhole. You get pulled up onto the top, and two snakes wrap around your arms. The snakes are attached to a human torso of a man who pulls you forward and clenches you tight against him as Salida and several other people with snake-like body parts, one of them with the head of a snake, another one with the lower body of a snake, come up to you.
Guys, I'm trying not to be judgmental, but this is pretty weird.
And Salida says, "You were supposed to bring others with you."
Wait, you're that hot chick from the bar?
See you next week. The music in this episode was produced by Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Blah, blah, blah.